Next on BYUSN, do you care more about BYU men's basketball seeding or matchup in the approaching Big 12 tournament? We'll discuss potential scenarios for the Cougars as they head into the final week of the regular season. We'll also be joined by Jonathan Tabernari as he breaks down the matchup with Iowa State and if this year's BYU team is truly built for a Sweet 16 run.
Quarterback Gary Bohannon on his relationship with the receivers, growth as a quarterback, and if he'd beat Keaton Slovis in a race. What's the number one priority of spring ball for the offense, and who are already some of the best players on the defense? Plus, Top 5 Tuesday features the best wins of the men's basketball season. Do both of last week's wins make the list?
Ooh! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, March 5th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who will never, absolutely never forget Taysom Hill, Jerem Jordan.
Okay, so someone put out on Twitter college football's forgotten stars list. Who was this again? Blue Blood Bias? Triple B? Best forgotten stars. Taysom Hill, number four on this list.
Is Taysom Hill forgotten?
I don't think he's forgotten because he's been very successful in terms of his brand and uniqueness in the NFL, right? So some of these guys you look on the list and you're like, yeah, I remember that guy, but I don't remember him in the NFL as much. I don't think that Taysom Hill is very forgotten. Maybe his career at BYU, perhaps to the nation, they just know him as like the Saints gadget guy. But in college, this guy was a almost 10,000 yards of total offense guy. It was amazing.
I don't understand why Taysom Hill would be that guy. Now Max Hall is a guy that, to me, for most people across the country, would be a forgotten star at BYU. Or maybe even Austin Colley.
I mean, it's been 15 years, 16 years for those guys. So, yeah, time, you lose certain memories over just time. Like Taysom was still playing in 2016 in college.
I was trying to think, yeah, what is the timetable required here?
I don't know.
Because I was thinking, who would be that guy, even if it were in Taysom Hill's timeline.
By the way, Chris Davis is not a college football forgotten star. He has perhaps one of the top five most memorable plays in college football history.
That'll never be forgotten.
Oh my gosh!
That doesn't apply either.
Auburn's got to win the bowl game!
Chris Davis.
Yeah, that's a great call. I love that call.
Forget them not, but rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU secures at least a first-round bye at the conference tournament.
This team is built to be able to make a run.
The comeback Cougs have done it in the toughest basketball conference in the country.
As March hits, the madness is in full force.
March basketball indeed in full force. So let's just reset where BYU men's basketball stands as of this Tuesday, March 5th. In all of the things that matter, most importantly, where BYU is in the Big 12 standings. And right now, they are tied for fourth place.
Wait, we're not going to the West Coast Conference Tournament this year?
No Vegas for BYU basketball.
Yeah, for 14 years!
No Orleans Arena. It is all about T-Mobile and Kansas City. So BYU tied for fourth and staring down the number six team in the country in a road game at Iowa State, where the fans will be out for blood. No question about it after what BYU did to the Cyclones.
Richie, enjoy that one, baby.
Yeah, Richie Saunders is public enemy number one.
There's going to be some signs.
Quite the week for Richie Saunders. He's the hero of heroes for BYU, and then all of a sudden he is public enemy number one in Ames, Iowa. Oklahoma State also left on the schedule. Yep. We tend to think that BYU is probably going to hold serve and go 1-1, but we'll talk about all those specifics in just a moment.
I'll take 2-0 like last week.
Jerem, as you stare down the tournament, and you'll be there in Kansas City reporting live for BYU Sports Nation, maybe during an actual game.
It could be two games.
While that is happening simultaneously at BYU
two
Sports
games.
Nation.
Yeah.
Do you care more about BYU's potential seeding? Maybe they're the four, double bye. Or are you just about matchups in the Big 12 tournament?
Well, it's hard because these two are sort of connected, right? We'll dive into that in a second. It feels like BYU is going to play Texas Tech at some point, hopefully. But we want BYU to win a game more than we want them to be a high seed. Although a higher seed equals easier to win said game. But in the Big 12, it's hard, man. No matter what BYU's matchup is, it's like, dude, that is a tough game. BYU has lost to a team tied for last in the league. In Oklahoma State, like, no game is just, yep, automatic. We're winning that no matter what. So I think it is matchup. I just need BYU to win a game, if that's on Wednesday or Thursday. Don't really care. BYU wins two, even better, Spence. They really secure what could be like a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that winning one more game in that tournament is going to swing BYU's resume or seed line in March Madness. So I just need BYU to win a game. If that's on Wednesday in the second round as a 5 or 6, that's great. If you can win on Thursday and get to the semis and amazing. But it's about winning a game. It's not about because if you get to be a 4, but you lose, well, who cares that you got a 4? You got to win a game there and pad the resume just a little bit. That way you have this nice, hey, BYU got this late win prior to Selection Sunday. Remember, this isn't like WCC tournament where it's on Monday and then all the games get played and then you just get buried. This is, you're playing on the weekend, hopefully, of Selection Sunday. So this is a little different for BYU in the Big 12.
Let me be as clear as I possibly can be here. When it comes to single elimination tournament format in college basketball, it does not matter what the seed is in large part. It is all about matchups, whether it's the Big 12 tournament, whether it's a preseason tournament, whether it's March Madness and the NCAA tournament. It is about matchups. So I am 100% agreeing with you that it matters who BYU could potentially play. And the most ideal scenario, sure, would be that BYU gets the double bye and they're the 4 seed. And Texas Tech, who I believe is a better matchup for BYU than many of the other higher caliber teams in the Big 12, is there at the 5 seed. And maybe BYU's playing Tech on Thursday in that 4-5 matchup. That, to me, is the ideal scenario. I don't care whether BYU is the 4 or the 5.
I don't think the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee cares either, Spence. They won't go, well, they were a 4 seed. They'll just look at the resume and what wins and losses they have and quads and net and everything.
It's not going to matter if BYU is the 4 or the 5 in the Big 12 to the Selection Committee. It really won't.
Now, for Ali Khalifa's knee, I think it does matter if BYU is the 4 or 5. Because I don't know how effective he's going to be in game 2 and/or 3 if you get to play that, right?
Rest.
Maybe he's good to go, and I don't know. He left the last game and had early, and then he came back. He had his ankle iced after the game, which isn't uncommon, right? But for his knee, I think that might matter. But ultimately, BYU needs to win a game at least in Kansas City. So whatever scenario creates that, great.
If BYU can earn a double bye, incredible.
Awesome. Great.
And we'll get into the specifics of that. In fact, why don't we go right now?
Let's okay? go.
Let's discuss go. How that actually happens, because we both care about matchup. Okay, but for me, whatever, 4 or 5, just Texas Tech. I want no part of Kansas.
I don't want Kansas.
In Kansas City, especially early in this tournament, given what BYU just did at Kansas.
If you thought it was, yeah, exactly. You won the one that was there. If you thought it was hard beating Gonzaga in Las Vegas, just wait for Kansas in Kansas City. 45 minutes from campus. They didn't win this tournament last year, Spence, but this is the Kansas Invitational. It's more Gonzaga in the WCC kind of historically. St. Mary's or whatever got them twice. Okay, if BYU goes 2-0, let's talk.
Then they're the 4 seed.
They finish 11-7. Based on the tournament tiebreakers and whatnot, BYU's not going to be able to get the 3, we don't think. It'd have to be some scenario we haven't looked at. It's crazy because some teams play once, some teams play twice.
With Baylor beating Texas last night, I do not see a path to BYU
Texas,
being the 3 seed.
Texas beating Baylor, had they beaten Baylor last night, there was a shot for the 3.
Yes.
Now the highest seed BYU can get seems like the 4. So it's not really Baylor that BYU is going for, it's Tech. The hope is that Tech loses tonight against Oklahoma State and to Baylor Saturday, and then BYU could afford a 1-1 scenario, because they lose the tiebreaker to Tech in the head-to-head. The second tiebreaker, by the way, if you're tied, is you go record versus top of the conference all the way down until it breaks up. And that's if there are 2 teams tied. If there are 3 or more tied, you get into a group and you go record versus the group. So it gets kind of complicated. But the reality is BYU is likely as high as the 4, as low as the 6.
If
BYU goes 0-2, there is a scenario where BYU could probably slide to the 7. They own tiebreakers over some of the homies down there. But the hope is you got to win at least 1 game this week. The reality is BYU is likely going 1-1. They're 10-8. And then if things worked out, perhaps you could be the 4.
The reality is,
but you're probably a 5 or 6.
Most of the teams in play here for the 4 seed are percentage-wise going to go 1-1 this week. Texas Tech, plays West Virginia. They play Oklahoma State tonight.
Cowboys.
They're a 2.5-point favorite against Oklahoma State. That game is in Stillwater. I think Texas Tech's going to find a way to
win. Oklahoma State, can you do what you did to Brigham Young and just, like, shoot the lights out?
Okay.
Do you mind just doing that again?
So here's the thing about that, though. Here's the tricky part about if you care more about matchups. If Texas Tech loses tonight, they play Baylor this weekend, and they will be an underdog in that game, too. Yeah. Texas Tech could finish 9-9. Kansas is going to go 1-1 this week, Jerem. They're going to beat Kansas State.
And then they're going to lose at Houston. Yeah. And that Texas Tech is hosting Baylor, by the way.
Which means BYU would then be the 4 seed, and Kansas would be the 5 seed at 10-8, and Texas Tech would be the 6 seed at 9-9.
That's not a great scenario.
I don't like that. So I'm actually rooting for Texas Tech tonight.
So you want BYU to be the 5?
Yeah, I want BYU to face Texas Tech.
You want BYU to be the 5.
Or the 4. Doesn't matter.
Or the 4.
As long as they face Texas Tech at some point. I feel like that is the best matchup. Yeah. BYU, to get to the 4 seed, has to win both games, which means beating Iowa State, which is a huge ask.
If that happens, awesome. How many wishes do you get? Has BYU used all 3 yet? Because one of them was winning at Kansas. I promise you that.
And maybe one was eliminating a 17-point deficit at halftime to beat TCU.
Right? Some of you might have used your third wish on that.
Okay.
The second one? Beating Georgia State.
All 3 teams are going to finish 10-8. That is what I think is going to happen. BYU, Texas Tech, and Kansas. And Texas Tech will win the tiebreak against both BYU and Kansas.
Yes.
They'll be the 4 seed. BYU be the 5 seed. And Kansas would be the 6 seed. And BYU would avoid Kansas in the early part of their tournament run, which I think is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Just don't go 0-2. BYU cannot go 0-2.
If BYU loses twice to Oklahoma State, holy mackerel, no.
Now BYU is staring down a first-round matchup with somebody like TCU or Oklahoma or Texas.
Someone that's a little too tough for your first game.
Not great.
Granted, Texas Tech is a tough first game if you're the 4, but it's about where you're at in the tourney. Just win a game in Kansas City. Win a game. Come on, Pat, get another quad 2 or quad 1 win.
I'm telling you, root for Texas Tech to win tonight and then lose to Baylor if you want that matchup for sure between Tech and BYU.
Root for Kansas State against Kansas. How about that?
10.5-point underdog Kansas State at Kansas.
Hey, they won in Lawrence. They won at home. They can win in Lawrence.
All right, our question of the day. Do you care more about BYU's potential seeding or matchup in the Big 12 tournament? I'm not saying a 4 seed wouldn't be incredible. A double bye would be awesome, but who's your matchup when you get through to that double bye? Sharon on X says, matchup. The more games BYU can win in the Big 12 tournament will help their seeding in the Big Dance, which is what you were talking about, Jeremy.
Yeah, another quad 1 or 2 win. Yeah, I guess they don't need it. There's a scenario where they go 1-done and lose, and they're the same seed. I would just rather be a 5 than a 6 in the NCAA tournament. And if that win is kind of the
one that pushes
the
you,
thing
keeps
that
you
like
on the 5
keeps
seed.
You there, then I love that idea. If Lenardi says, no, it doesn't matter, they just stay a 5, then it didn't matter. But it'd just be nice to go to Kansas City year 1, win a game, right? You don't want to show up there and have this great regular season then in one game. You'd like to show up and win a game. Come on.
Some.byu.dude on X says,
this is your burner, right?
Seeding matters more to him. If we're a 5th seed, BYU would have to play a game and then face the number 4 seed. BYU skips that as the 4 seed. I think matchups are one thing, but every team is competent.
Yeah.
I'd take playing one less game.
Ali Khalifa's knees, this would be a good scenario for him that way, to be the 4 and just kind of, okay, all in on that one win, and then you just see what you can do the next day.
The best case scenario for BYU, win both this week and Texas Tech and Kansas go 1-1, and BYU is the 4 seed, and Texas Tech is the 5 seed. That is as blue-goggled awesome as you can get.
I stopped listening at win both this week because that's what I hope happens. If that happens, I don't really care what else is next.
Okay.
Topic 2. BYU football held spring practice number 2 yesterday. Here's offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick on the QB battle behind Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon.
Some good things. We're just very early still. Jake looks like a veteran player, like he really knows what he's doing out here, knows the offense well. And Gary's learning our stuff. A lot of the stuff are things he did at Baylor, just different terminology. So he's got to get up to speed with everybody at just being able to process that stuff as quickly as we will need him to in a game. But so far, I've seen a lot of good things from those guys.
It's too bad there's no spring game like last year because there's a quarterback battle. It'd just be nice, right? It's too bad.
I know. And the coaching staff at BYU just is not inclined. They're just not inclined to hold a spring. They even when they do it, they don't really like it.
And Lavelle Edwards Stadium's grass is being redone. And so they'd have to do it at Provo High, and they're not doing it at Old Provo High, right?
Right. I get it. I understand there's a lot of logistical nightmares to kind of work through if you did want to hold a spring game this season. But the staff is, I think they're happy. They're just like, yeah, just let's go to work. Just let us do our thing, whatever.
I think we're going to get into fall camp before we know who the guy is, by the way. I don't think it'll be named after spring. I just think they want the maximum amount of reps for that person to see who really earns it. And if one guy really sticks out and deserves to be the guy, that's kind of an indictment on the second guy in spring. I think they'll need more time going into fall camp.
Gary Bohannon needs more time. I know that he understands the offense, and we're going to talk to him later in the show. I talked to him yesterday and asked him about these very questions. Like, how comfortable do you really feel with the verbiage? And because you recognize things, but there are just different nuances for sure. And Jake Retzlaff has an advantage there. Gary Bohannon needs the summer to get used to all of that stuff, player-run practices and everything that they can possibly do without coaches there. Yeah, they need time. Aaron Roderick also spoke about the number one priority for the offense and what needs to be done to make that happen.
Establish our run game. That's number one. Running the ball is 11-man. It's an 11-man deal every play. Obviously, it starts up front, but it's tight ends, it's receivers, it's the quarterback getting us into the right play. A lot of our run plays are audibles or have the ability to be audibles. Sometimes occasionally it's an RPO. We don't run a ton of those, but we do run some. And it's play action pass fitting together with the runs. So it's all of it. It's an 11-man deal, but that is our number one priority. We got to get back to running the football the way we did the 3 years prior to last year.
Amen to that. TJ Woods on the offensive line, coaching them up, trying to get those guys right. And the two running backs right now are clearly LJ Martin, number one, and Miles Davis, number two. And for what it's worth, we were watching Miles Davis closely yesterday. He has trimmed down. He looks lighter. He looks more.
He didn't look that big before.
He looks faster.
Faster? He was already fast.
Broke off a nice run down the sideline. And immediately, I was standing next to our producer, Colton Potter. I said, does he not look more trim and fat? Like, he looks faster. And sure enough, he's dropped.
But is he faster than Keaton Slovis?
Indeed, he is. I can guarantee you that. Those are the two guys. And then there are a bunch of freshman running backs after that that are, and we don't know what's going to happen with Hinkley Rapati. I don't know. Like, is he back? Is he healthy? Is
we should play Name Your Polynesian BYU running back. That'd be really fun.
Like, yeah, there are
Tovesa Demuni, Nukulewe Helu.
Yes.
Hinkley Rapati.
There are more.
Pokai Honga.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ones, man. I love it.
But they're all very young outside of Rapati. So Miles Davis, probably number two. LJ Martin looks good, strong. He's going to be the number one guy. Is that enough to find what BYU wants in the run game, or do you need more depth there?
To be a starting or two deep running back at BYU, do you have to sound like a jazz musician? Name? LJ Martin on sax. Miles Davis
Miles
on
Davis,
trumpet.
Clearly.
Miles Davis.
Okay.
Let's go. Defense coordinator Jay Hill spoke about why he and the staff have focused so much on improving the front seven this offseason.
We got to get better there. There were certain games in the Big 12 where we either weren't big enough or stout enough or we didn't make the proper fits or whatever reason, we got to be much more stout inside than we were last year.
This always and forever in football. So, yeah, the better the front seven for BYU is, the better the secondary will be. It's a crazy relationship that way.
How much of a step forward can the defensive line take in 1 year?
They're pretty young still, and they didn't, like, boost it too much from the portal outside of what Jack Kelly and Tui Saile. Those two feel like, okay, they're in and they're big time in the mix. I like who they got out of high school, but it takes a couple years for them to have a real impact.
Jack's going to play linebacker, yeah? Or, I mean, yeah okay, so.
He'll have an impact, don't get me wrong. And Tui will. But outside of that, it's like, okay, who else are the guys? He also had a quote saying, listen, we're getting better, but we haven't established, like, who the starters are, right? And it's early spring ball. You don't really have to do that until fall camp if you don't want.
You bring
but
BYU's
got a veteran group, but can these guys do the men's basketball thing, which is same dudes, way better?
Yes. Tyler Batty, John Nelson.
And Tyler was good enough.
Can they take another step and that core stays intact?
Like Mangelson and
You know how strongly I feel about this core idea? Like I'm hoping that BYU football can take the page out of BYU basketball's book. Can they go on a European trip?
Can football go to Australia or something? Yeah.
Somewhere?
Where does a football team go?
Florida?
Canada? To play the Canadian football league? They're like, you know how to play.
We went down to Tijuana.
These rules are weird. What's up with this?
I just want that cohesion, man. Yeah. Oh, I'm all in on that.
Big game coming up tomorrow night. Number 20 BYU. Oh, they're back in the polls. Should have been higher. Number 6 Iowa State. Huge game. Can BYU win another at Kansas-like game? They got that opportunity tomorrow. 8 Eastern pregame on BYU Radio.
BYU only number 20. Fake news.
Boo-hoo.
Up next, Jonathan Tavernari joins
in here.
Does JT care more about BYU seeding, or is he all in on matchups in the Big 12 tournament? Tell me it's matchups. This is BYU Sports Nation.
No one loves the Cougars more than me.
Fake news. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Do you care more about seeding for BYU in the approaching Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, or are you more about matchups? Doesn't matter if they play Wednesday or Thursday, because you're all in on who BYU's matched up against. For opinions on that and much more, we welcome in former BYU sharpshooter, international star, Jonathan Tavernari is back on the program. JT,
former almost Carolina Panther tight end.
Let's go!
Squad guy.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, bro.
Current entrepreneur. I want to just announce I created a new business, which is Traveling with Tavernari. Since the football team needs a European vacation and they're looking to, build some camaraderie. So let me know. I'm a travel advisor by night. And so just putting the word out there, guys. I can make it happen.
Take him to Brazil, JT. That's a few destinations.
The first NFL game next year is in Sao Paulo.
I'm just saying. So if you need it, I just came up with the name Traveling with Tavernari. So if you need any help, my boss watches the show. Verlin, this is my 2-week notice. I'm quitting.
I'm already thinking of potential jingles here with Traveling with Tavernari. We can collaborate on that later. All right. The question at hand, JT. Do you care more about BYU's potential seeding in Kansas City, or are you all in on the matchup and you don't care what seed BYU takes into Kansas City?
So I'm going to answer that asking you guys a question. Do you feel like games played, with the exception of winning the conference tournament, do you two feel that a win or two in Kansas City helps BYU resume, yes or no?
Does it help to the point where they go up or if they lose down a seed line? I'm not sure. It could boost it, right? If BYU wins Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, go up a line. I don't think, though, that one loss would make you go down a line. Depends what the margin is there for the committee.
And that's where my thinking is, because I think that, by the way, Spencer, unbelievable prediction. I need the lottery numbers, and I'm picking you up when the show's over. We're driving to Vegas, and you said that BYU could possibly be 9-9 in the Big 12 conference.
People told me I was crazy, JT. They told me I was nuts.
I still am.
Hey, it's unbelievable. And so, my perspective on this is at 21-8 right now, I feel like they could finish the year. You never know what's going to happen at Iowa State, but you probably, you go, let's just say you win conference at 10-8. That puts you at 22-9. Let's just say that they get to the quarterfinals or maybe the semifinals. How is BYU not a 4 seed at that point, guys? And so to me, I feel like, and that's why I'm asking you guys, because I don't know. So much has changed in the landscape of college basketball that a lot of things you don't know. And so, in the way that they consider how you go and how you do things in the conference tournament, you would think that maybe getting to the quarterfinals, I think, it solidifies BYU as a 4 seed. which is a good thing. Hema ordered a ton of paint to cover our bodies. And so we got to make sure that when they play in Salt Lake, you know, we can use it. But, you know, the way that I see it is, you know, if there is a correlation, which I personally don't know, because it's, sometimes it's hard to understand, right? You have the metrics and Campom and net and rankings and so on. But to me, I will personally say that from the committee perspective and how they act, if BYU gets to the quarterfinal, which obviously having a higher seed, which right now I believe they are, you know, tied for, you know, they're in fourth place, but they have the tiebreaker with Kansas, but there's also Texas Tech. And so I think that BYU has a chance to get to the quarterfinals. And if they get to the semifinals, I can't see a world where BYU is worse than a fifth seed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And hopefully they can somehow make their way up to a four seed. 4 and 5, not a huge difference in March Madness per se, right? You're playing a 13 versus a 12, and then you're matching up with the 4 or 5 in that next game anyway. So not a big deal, and it's not like you get home court or anything per se from that. But, yeah, listen, if you told me right now BYU's getting a 5 seed in a couple weeks, and obviously we want it in Salt Lake, but let's say it's just in Omaha or Pittsburgh or Charlotte, that's spectacular, dude. This team could not only win one game, but maybe two. Who knows? You got to win that first. A 5-12 is a little scary. That's a 50-50 proposition the last couple of years. But we would all take that right now. So let me ask you this. Is this team built to get to the Sweet 16?
I think it is. I think and I'm not going to say we need to stop. And I'm not just saying that, you know, it's overplayed, because I think we're all shocked and we're all surprised and amazed, but we're happy. But now we know what to expect from this team. But I think that at this point, we know what this team is going to give. So I don't mean like we need to stop in a negative way. I think now we know what we're going to get from this team. And so the last time you guys had me in talking with Lauren and Hema BYU
Cougar tailgate.
Yes, Cougar tailgate. Yes, that's right. I've mentioned this a couple of times, and you too tell me if I'm crazy, but round one of the NCAA tournament, Jackson Robinson, Trevin Nell, and Foose go crazy. Game two of the NCAA tournament, Dallin Hall, Noah Waterman, and Ali Khalifa go crazy. Game three of the tournament, Trevin Nell, Ali Khalifa, Foose, and Richie Saunders go crazy. So, if any of these things sound, I mean, it sounds doable, right? None of it sounds like it's far-fetched, because we've seen it at different times of the year. These guys go off. These guys have heck of a games and be the winning factor, the deciding factor to winning games. And so then I ask you, why is it not possible to happen in the NCAA tournament? I get that the higher you go, the more games you win, the degree of difficulty increases. But again, all of these situations, all of these games and so on, the way that these players are performing, I just don't see it in a way that, you know, BYU, as long, and I've said this as soon as Foose was coming back after the West Virginia, and I don't know if I told you guys or a different outlet, but I said, as long as these guys are healthy, which the game before West Virginia, they had an entire week before for preparation and so on, but they were healthy. As long as this guy stay healthy, they have a fighting chance of every game. Think about these games the last 2 weeks, guys. They were down 17 points, 12 points. They had 20-plus swings. And so if BYU can figure out a way to start the game well, weather the you know, the attacks and the runs of the other team and finish the way they're finishing, I don't see a world where, you know, I'm not saying BYU is going to win the national championship, but this could be – you know, something that hasn't been done in BYU basketball history in decades and decades and decades.
We are traveling with Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation. He is the sharpshooter, JT. Okay, let's just throw out this hypothetical scenario. BYU gets into the NCAA tournament. They're a 5 seed or a 6 seed, and JT, they win that first round game but lose in the second round. Mark Pope has never won an NCAA tournament game as a head coach. If he does that this season, would one win in March Madness be enough for you to call this a massive success? Or does it need to be more?
In my personal opinion, I think that if this team makes the NCAA tournament, it's already a massive success. I don't think they need to win a game there. I think the fans would be disappointed. We need to remind ourselves what conference we're in, the type of expectations we had at the beginning of the season. Now, something that Jeremy and I a few years ago went back and forth, he kept going, well, things evolve, things change, perceptions change. And I think that we are all, I don't want to say victims, but I think that, you know, we're all a little biased because this team has had a lot of successes of late. And so we start changing our perspective about these guys. But I'm going to be honest with you. I already think this season is a massive success because we're going back to the NCAA tournament. And so I think that when you accomplish that, you did what you're supposed to do. That's what BYU is all about. Now, I'm not saying that you have to settle for mediocrity, you know, but I am saying that based on the expectations that we had for the beginning of the season to what we've seen on the court, what to expect, I already consider this season a massive success. However, if you can get more, go ahead and do it. And so to me, I think that getting to the NCAA tournament, it will be a massive accomplishment. And if he can win one, two, or three games, if this team can do it, at that point, guys, you know, something that Coach Rose has often said, you know, after he retired, you know, you're playing with house money. And so to me, just seeing BYU in the same breath of we're back, we're a national brand. Everybody knows about BYU in college basketball this year. It's not like it's something that it's out of the blue. And so it's something that these, all of the talk heads, all of the shows, all of the universities, all of the opponents, they know who BYU is, who BYU is. And so at that point, to me, getting to the ACAA tournament is a huge accomplishment. After that, we're playing with house money. That's my opinion.
The hope is that the Big 12 prepares you for a moment like that, right? And that this team is weathered and experienced in a way in the tough games it played in that season more than any other BYU team. That's got to be for sure, right? So if you go to the tourney, yeah, massive success. No, I don't disagree on that. But if you lose that first round game, that would be bitterly sore given how good this BYU team would be. So the hope is you win at least one game and you go, that's big time. Mark Pope's going to be recruited by a lot of people if BYU wins a game, and maybe even if they don't. And that's the tough part about success sometimes. But we'll get to that. The hope is you win that first game. But BYU could go on a run. It's all about if they make threes, it feels like. We'll see, though. Because Iowa State's tomorrow, JT. I'm not sure they get a better matchup like an Iowa State until the second round of the NCAA tournament, perhaps, unless they make a run in Kansas City.
I'm going to split with you, Jerem. I mean, we're kind of related cousins because you served in Brazil. But So I will say this. I'm going to split with you. I think that if BYU doesn't win a tournament, a game in a tournament, it will, I don't want to say it will be disappointing because our expectations have already been, you know, maximized. But based on everything you said, I completely understand. I don't know if I will completely agree, but I get the sentiment. However, if they somehow manage to one of these things, if they somehow manage to beat Iowa State in Iowa State, if they somehow manage to get to the semifinals of the conference tournament, at that point, my expectation is going to go through the roof. Because to your point, what hasn't this team accomplished? Because then they're peaking at the right time. They're battle tested. They're ready. At that point, what haven't they seen? To your point, best conference in college basketball. People will say that we're manipulating. You know, why did they manipulate that rank on Kansas? You think that's manipulating beating Kansas in Kansas, right? And I love, you know, I kind of had that Kobe tweet of like unrank that, right? And so it's so I will split with you or on the fact that if they either beat Iowa State at Iowa State. And or if they get to the semifinals of the conference tournament and everybody's healthy, I don't think why the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight is a challenge for this team. I personally don't, based on you. Trevin is probably as good of a shooter as BYU has ever seen. Richie Saunders can lit up. Jackson Robinson is a stud. A lock to be sixth man of the year. He is by a mile the best sixth man of the year that BYU has ever seen. He will take my vote as the best. And he will take my vote as the best six man of the year, the sixth man that BYU has ever had. I'm very much hopeful that he wins it. Records are meant to be broken. I know that I'm the only one in program history that has won that award, But the way that Jackson is playing and the way that he has accepted the role for the team, it is amazing to see. And so that's my expectation, right? That I'm happy that they're going to make the tournament. But if I see some things that Iowa State's going to be a crazy crowd, they're having a fantastic season, they're playing for a conference title, and if we can make a run in Kansas City, I don't see how this team can be stopped before the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight.
All right, JT, always great to talk to you. If BYU does make a Sweet 16, I will be booking my travel with you, traveling with Tavernari. So get those plane tickets ready, man.
A complimentary, it comes with a complimentary cougar tail as soon as you're about to get to the airplane. Nice. So,
JT, good to talk to you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Always and forever, go Cougs. And great, Jerem Jordan, un grande abraço.
Abraço, amigo.
Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation.
Always fun.
I just want to speak Korean. You guys speak your Brazilian, and I'm or your Portuguese, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what you're saying.
It's all good.
Chingu.
What does that mean?
Friend. Like,
friend. Chingu. Season finale of BYU basketball with Mark Pope is coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Big one for the Cougs coming off Iowa State and before Senior Day against Oklahoma State.
Up next, an important game in the Big 12 that happened last night and how it impacts things for BYU and every other team in Kansas City. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. We have much to do, so let's get right to the headlines.
Men's basketball back in the top 25 at number 20. Cougars play number 6 Iowa State tomorrow. 5 ranked teams in the Big 12 this week. ESPN's Joe Lenardi also has BYU as a 5 seed. In his latest bracketology, a total of 9 Big 12 teams are going to make the tournament, according to Joe.
BYU football continuing spring practice yesterday. Aaron Rodgers gave an update on the quarterback battle between Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. Jay Hill spoke about his early impressions of the young defensive roster. We played those sound bites. Download the podcast if you want to hear that. Practice continues over the next couple of weeks. Follow BYU Sports Station for the extensive coverage.
Kingsley Suamataia is in a couple of mock drafts this morning. ESPN's Jordan Reed, 35th overall. That'd be the third pick of the second round to the Cardinals. And the Athletic's Dane Brugler as him at 33rd, which would be the first pick of the second round to the Ravens.
BYU baseball on the road in Las Vegas, riding a 3-game win streak. They'll take on UNLV. BYU now 5-5. Coverage of today's game begins at 5 Eastern live on BYU Radio.
Gymnastics scored a season-high 197 last night at Southern Utah. Well done. First 197 since February of 2022.
Better judges!
Nice. Let's hope in the judgment part that's the case for all of us. The number 33 Cougars host number 15 Ohio State in the final meet, home meet of the season this Friday on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
You'll be on the call with Mikhail Merkley. BYU men's volleyball holding steady at number 6 in this week's ABCA poll. BYU returns to action Friday and Saturday at number 7 Stanford. Hey, number 6 versus number 7.
Men's golf in 12th place, won over at the Lampkin Invitational in San Diego. The women's golf team currently in 13th at the Julie Inkster Meadow Club Intercollegiate. Through day one, both teams play their final round today.
And former BYU women's soccer star Olivia Wade Katoa officially signed a 2-year deal with the Portland Thorns. Congratulations to Olivia. Those are today's headlines. Now for an accelerated version of the Big 12 Roundup, beginning with the game that had major impact on BYU last night. Number 11, Baylor, had to rally furiously in the second half, much like BYU did against TCU at home, to beat Texas. The Bears win 93-85. It essentially locks them up as the 3 seed in Kansas City.
Still got to play it out, but probably the 3. Yeah, that was tough. 2 games in action tonight. Kansas State at number 14, Kansas. Remember, Kansas State won the first matchup at home. Then Texas Tech at Oklahoma State, make it 3. Cincinnati at Oklahoma. You kind of want Oklahoma to get out of the way. You don't want a tiebreaker there that BYU doesn't have. Texas Tech, you want Texas Tech to be the kind of 5-4-y?
I don't want them to be the 6.
I would love for BYU to get the 4, but you need Tech at the 5.
Yes.
So it's a little complicated.
Root for the Red Raiders to beat Oklahoma State. I know it sounds crazy. That wraps up the Big 12 Roundup. Now, some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner. And we'll go with this. In Dane Brugler's post-combine mock draft, we just talked about it, Kingsley Suamataia going 33rd overall. First pick of the second round to the Ravens. Again, Jordan Reed has Kingsley going 35th overall.
How do you feel about Kinsley being potential early second round pick?
Love it. I love it. I think that's a great spot for him. Second round pick's amazing. You're bringing in a guy like that to be a starter eventually, if not that first year. So Kingsley's big time tackle. That'll be three straight starting left tackles for BYU drafted, which is unbelievable.
How about
Who's
that?
Who's the next one?
Yeah. Brady Christensen, Blake Freeland, now Kingsley Suamataya. Who's going to be the left tackle this season?
Is it Keimer Etienne? Like, who's the next guy? Let's go.
Etienne definitely has the size to go and beat it.
Oh, that dude's a monster.
Can he clean it up with TJ Woods as his offensive line coach? Okay, that wraps up the Cougar Rip Around.
Baseball, a three-game win streak, taking on UNLV today. Listen on BYU Radio at 5 Eastern time.
After the break, my one-on-one with BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. How does it feel about being the starter? And is he faster than Keaton Slovis? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. Yesterday, I spoke one-on-one with BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon about his push to be the starter, if he's faster than Keaton Slovis, and how he feels about the weather in Provo. This is my one-on-one.
Gary, I know we're only a few days into spring football at BYU, but how do you feel like things are progressing over the last few practices?
So far, I feel like everybody's getting better. We got a lot of guys in different positions, a lot of guys that's trying to get in sync and get used to each other with timing, new blocking schemes, new run schemes, some new things added. So everybody's adjusting well. Everybody eager to learn. So coming out here working every day.
Specifically, how do you feel like your role is sharpening as the quarterback in this BYU system?
I think it's sharpening quite a bit. I would say each day I'm getting better, like spending time watching film, picking the coach's brains, and just coming out here trying to find something to work on each day. Just coming out here working on it and getting more and more reps is going to make you more comfortable, make things more easier. The game's going to slow down for you. So I feel like right now it's coming on.
Well documented that you know this offense because of the Grimes backdrop and Aaron Roderick working with him, but the verbiage and the language can be a little bit different. So what's that transition been like for you?
It's been smooth. Sometimes you kind of run into some bumps with some old signals or some old names or something like that. But it's been smooth so far just because the foundation was laid. The foundation's laid, so it's like you can build off of that. You just got to keep repping the terminology and drawing it up and those kind of things to help you.
How do you feel like your chemistry and just the relationships are building with your receivers specifically? Because, again, you're new, but the receiver core is – they've been here for a while now. So how's that relationship working out?
It's honestly been growing. It's been developing. From the first day to today, it's been better and better each day. And that's the goal, to continue to get better each day, because you need reps. That's the only way to build time. You need the reps. And I would say right now it's at a good point, but we got a long ways to go.
Who's the receiver that says they're always open?
Cody. We literally were just talking about a scrimmage. He's like, find zero. So Cody, he literally just said that a few minutes ago.
He's that guy for you.
Literally just said it, like, while I was still down there. So yeah, definitely Cody.
I felt something, so I needed to ask that question clearly.
Yeah, he's fine. He's hilarious.
All right, when you get into the last part of scrimmage, and we got to watch the last 20 minutes when you're in what looked like a very physical and high intensity scrimmage against the defensive side, how's the game speed for you as the quarterback at BYU right now going against their defense?
It's actually at a pretty steady level, I would say. We kind of got an idea of what they're doing, what we're trying to get accomplished as an offense. So it's just about putting it all together, like not just me or the receivers, literally everybody, because going against the defense, all 11 got to be on the same page. So that's the key to it for us right now, taking each rep, individualizing it, and getting better each rep and working as 11 on each rep.
Certainly how you work with the offensive line is a critical component to this. A lot of starts are back. How are the guys performing up front for you?
They're doing well. They're learning. Coach Woods, he's getting them right. The guys come out here working each and every day. They're pushing through it. Some of them moving around a little bit. So that's exciting to see. And they're all adjusting well. I would say they're building some chemistry as well together, figuring out how to call things together, IDs and all that stuff. So it's been good so far. I'm super excited for those guys.
So on your to-do list right now, what's number one on the agenda for Gary Bohannon in terms of things that you want to get better at right now?
Operating. I would say that. I've been out for a while, so getting back to used to operating, get behind the center, taking snaps, reading coverages, all of that, everything that goes into operating, footwork, drops, timing, literally everything, seeing coverages, everything. I'm going to say operating.
The quarterback competition is always a fun topic, and certainly at BYU, where there's a long story and history of quarterbacks, how has it been for you to to compete for what you hope is a starting job when the fall rolls around?
It's been good for a month. I've just been coming out here every day just trying to find something to get better at with my game. I mean, you got to kind of focus on yourself if you want to be honest. That's the goal. Like, focus on yourself and develop yourself. Find ways to get better. Learn from everybody that's around you, everybody that goes before you, after you. Just try to learn from everybody and build on those reps. I mean, you get a limited amount of reps actually being out there, so make sure you get the reps on the side.
It's a busy quarterback's room. What's the vibe like in there right now?
Oh, the vibe's good. I mean, we all love each other. We all have fun there, joke around, spend time with each other, and come out here and compete and find ways to help each other get better and critique each other. So it's been good.
A few weeks ago, you told me that you were getting along well and watched a lot of film with Ryder Burton. How's that relationship progressing?
Still the same. We still spend a lot of time watching together, learning from him, picking his brain. He's learning from me because I've played quite a bit of football. So just kind of building off each other and trying to help each other expand our knowledge and expand the way we see the game.
Now, before we started rolling, we were talking about the different climates that you've been in, moving from Waco to Tampa, now to Provo. How are you handling the cooler temperatures in Provo compared to those previous two spots?
One word, preparation. Be prepared. Be prepared. Hand warmer, hoodie, whatever you need. Be prepared. Go out there and just execute. That's all you got to do. Just be prepared. You'll be all good.
That's a great answer. It's a veteran answer. Oh, yeah. Come on.
That's it. Just, you can't do nothing but be prepared in every situation. That's it.
What advice are you getting from your family? Because, again, I know they're invested into you, and they love them some GB. So what advice are you getting from them as you progress through this point of your career?
Honestly, keep being myself. Every day, come in, show up, be the same guy every day. They know I'm going to work. Just continue to work, continue to build and learn from the other guys and learn with the guys and continue to develop everybody that's around me. That's it.
We'll finish with a couple of quick hitters. Everybody wants to know how your shoulder's feeling and how your health is doing overall. So how are things there?
Oh, it's been feeling good. I've been working with Skyler quite a bit. He's getting me right. It's been feeling good. I haven't had any issues out here. No time. I don't plan to have any. We haven't had any, so we're going to leave it there and leave it at that. That's it. It's been good.
We saw a long throw across the field, I think, to JoJo Phillips, and looked at a couple of my guys. I was like, shoulder looks pretty good to me, so it's feeling good.
Shoulder's good. Shoulder feels good.
All right, Gary, I already asked you about item number one on your agenda list. What do you think about, like, when practice ends, what kind of repetitions and things are you thinking about as you leave the practice facility?
Honestly, every day I'm going to go get some mechanics work over to the side after. I'm going to try to spend some time focusing on throwing the ball the right way. The little things that go from feet up into shoulders, continue to get all of that in sync, because everybody knows it's a kinetic chain when you're throwing the ball. So working on that. And also, me, I'm a kind of guy that's going to think about all my bad reps of the day, things I could have been better at. So it's like, I'm thinking about a throw that I missed right now. Sure. And it's like the only thing in my mind right now. I'm trying to get it out. I'm just ready to watch it, see what it was. But that's me. I'm a guy that just trying to find ways to get better. Looking at everything I did that could have been better. That's me.
Hey, excellence in the details for sure. I have to ask you about Keaton Slovis and his 4.55 40 at the NFL Combine. Man. Gary, would you beat him in a race?
I'm sorry, Keaton. I get you, Keaton. But congrats to you, bro. He did his thing. He threw the ball well. He ran really well. Yeah. I texted Ryder Matt. I was like, he didn't run the ball more. He ran a 4.5. I'm like, he should have tucked quite a bit of balls just because he ran a 4.5. So excited for him, though. He's a good player.
But you still got him.
I think I get him.
What would you run right now, do you think?
I don't know what I run right now, but I can hit something good. Nothing crazy, but I can hit something good. I think I got that in me for sure.
Yeah, and for the record, they blew a play dead early in the scrimmage. That was not a sack on you, right?
I'm out of there. I was going to get out of there on that one, but it's all good. It's all good. Playing ball.
Let's go. We're playing ball.
Gary, appreciate the time and the insight into the competition, and wish you the best moving forward.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon on BYU Sports Nation. Up next, do you care more about the potential seeding for BYU men's basketball in the tournament, or is it all about the matchup? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with a program announcement. We're pushing Top 5 Tuesday to Thursday post Iowa State because maybe that game will be in this week's
Universe. We want to add that to the list, yeah.
Our question of the day, do you care more about BYU's potential seeding or matchup in the Big 12 tournament? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. From friend of the program, longtime listener and watcher, Jeremiah Hale on X, who answers seeding. Big 12 is so good, there's no clear favorable matchup for BYU.
No.
Fewer games are better. Also better for a resume to win or lose versus a likely better seed/net team.
Want to pad with a late, nice win, right? A quad one would be nice, quad two.
A win over Texas Tech would be nice. Yes. Today's Rising shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about the BYU football team doing a devotional in Spanish? The Spanish speakers did this on Sunday, I believe, or Saturday. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
How many teams
can do this, by the way? Pretty cool. Not too many.
We are a unique people. That is for sure. Our thanks to today's guests, Jonathan Tavernari and Gary Bohannon.
Sorry, Jen.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer, and a final shout-out to Doug Jolly. Stay tuned for The Devotional with Elder Dale Renland at the top of the hour.
Did you know the average TV commercial break is around 3 minutes?